There is a place that God created where you can experience authentic love and connection like nowhere else on earth. It's a place where loneliness isn't welcome and meaningful relationships abound. It's a community where people can be reconnected to their family. Sound like a place you might want to go? Stick around. I'll give you directions on how to get there.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues his series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. Now, just before we get started, let me encourage you to try using Chip's free message notes while you listen. Chip's notes contain his outline, scripture references, and much more. They'll help you remember what you hear and be better equipped to share what you're learning. LivingOnTheEdge.org. Click Listen Now, and it's a quick download from there. Now let's join Chip for part two of his message, How to Overcome Loneliness and Isolation.
Look at 1 John. I want you to see this relationship between being in relationship with God and therefore in relationship with other believers. By the way, that's the theme of the book of 1 John. The apostle writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, speaking of Christ, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, he's saying, this is real. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, Jesus. We have seen it and testify it to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. The gospel, great. Now get the next two verses. We proclaim to you that we have seen and we have heard, notice the purpose clause, so that you also may have fellowship with us. I would have expected him to say what? So you can have fellowship with God. He doesn't say that. So you, we've proclaimed it. When we share the gospel, it's so people can have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. We write this to make our joy complete. Do you get that? Once you're related to God, you are now organically related to other believers all over the world. And have you picked this up yet? Have you figured this out about life? That joy is not a target or a thing that you can try to achieve, but that joy is a byproduct of relationships, period. You ought to write that down, and if you learn that, it'll transform how you live life. See, there's a lot of people that think success will bring them joy, and then they're successful and it's empty. They think getting something, earning something, achieving something, being something, dressing a certain way, having a certain house, driving a certain car, they think it'll bring them joy. And what happens? It's like the old cat chasing his tail. You bite into it only to find out it certainly wasn't what you expected. See, joy is a byproduct of relationships with one another and with God. So, well, we've solved it, haven't we? Aren't you glad you came? Well, we have. You don't have to be lonely. God cares, right? He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and He loves you. Jesus understands your loneliness, so if you talk to Him at any time, I mean, His heart will break with your hurt. He invites you into a relationship if you haven't. And finally, once you're in relationship with Him, you belong to one another, and so since you belong, everything's great, right? Gosh, we're done pretty early. Doesn't work quite like that, does it? See, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of us that belong, we're born again, we know Christ, but your experience in the body of Christ is like you live your life feeling like there's a plexiglass box around you and you're on the outside looking in. And in your heart of hearts, you don't feel like anyone really cares. And you don't feel deeply connected. And it may be true of you that you know God, and it may be true of you that you belong, but you don't feel it. So let me take some time and see if we can't discuss and discover how can you experience authentic love and real connection in the body of Christ. How does that work? Let me give you a quick picture that might help you at least register intellectually with what I'm talking about. Many of us have had this problem of getting in shape, right? We all want to be in shape, at least to some. Sometimes the doctors say get in shape, and it motivates us. And other times around Christmas, someone buys us, you know, one of those little coupons to go to a gym or to a spa, or sometimes we get motivated and buy. But whatever it is, whether someone else bought it or you bought it, you can sign up to go to one of the area gyms or one of the spas, or you can even buy a treadmill and put it in one of the back bedrooms. And the moment you sign up for the gym or for the spa, what? Your problem with getting in shape is solved, isn't it? All the machines that you need to get in shape are available. And when you go there, they'll talk about nutrition, and they'll talk about habits, and they'll talk about lifestyle, and they'll even pinch you and tell you your body weight, fat, dip, 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 and all that stuff, right? And they'll tell you which exercises you're in. Now, help me with this. However, if you sign on the dotted line and you're a member of the spa or the gym, you have positional membership, but you never go. How in shape do you get? Zippo. Nada. Flaboreme, right? High cholesterol. It's the same in the body of Christ. You can be a positional member. You're saved. You know Christ. You're forgiven. You're in the family. You belong to other believers. But a positional member is very different than a practicing member, a participating member. There are very few benefits. It's like the kid who might live in your house, and this isn't hopefully any happening anywhere, but it's like living in a house and all the fun's around the dining room table and people are eating and laughing and having fun and giving high fives and even having a good few healthy arguments. You can live in that house, but if you stay in your room all the time, you don't get it. See, I believe it is the state of scores of people in this room and all over the world. People are positional members, but you know, they're not practicing members. And until you are a participating member of the body of Christ, guess what? You're lonely. Are you lonely because God doesn't care? Nope. Are you lonely because Jesus doesn't understand your pain? Nope. Are you lonely because He hasn't invited you into relationship with Him to solve the problem? Nope. Are you lonely because no one cares, there's no place to belong? Nope. What are you lonely? You're lonely for two reasons. One, I believe you have a distorted view of the church. And two, you have a distorted view of relationships. And so in the time remaining, here's what I want to do. I want to help you break out of your loneliness and isolation by rethinking your view of the church and by revising your approach to relationships. First, rethinking your view of the church. Many people think of the church as an institution. It's buildings, it's programs, it's structure, it's this idea of them. In fact, when I meet you out at the mall or when I'm running around, when you tell me I go to your church, you're telling me that you think church is a them and you're a we. So you don't feel apart. The church is not an institution. The church is a community. Community is where you have involvement, sharing, relationships, and connection. See, the church is not an event to attend. Like, I'm going to the theater. It's Saturday night or Sunday morning. Let's go to the church. It's a place to attend. Hope the music's good. Hope Chip has a good day, you know? I'm going to the church, an event. That's not the church. The church is a place to belong. It's a family. It's us. It's in relationships. And until you rethink how you think about the church, you're going to be lonely. And there's steak dinners spiritually on the table and starving people, and that doesn't make sense to God. Look at the early church, Acts chapter 2. Just listen to it. Just listen to it and you tell me. You tell me if this sounds like an institution or an event to come to schedule in your planner. Or if this sounds more like life and relationships and involvement. Early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Koinonia, sharing, relationship, involvement. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. That means they at least knew each other's names, didn't it? They cared about one another. They got out of their comfort zone. It wasn't any easier for them than it is for us. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They had large group worship, temple courts. They had instruction, they had celebration, they had worship. But in temple courts or on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, you can't experience all God wants for the church. This is one function. But notice what happens after the temple courts. And they did it daily. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread. They had meals together. Shared the Lord's Supper where? In homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You're kidding. You mean small groups isn't a new method that someone made up to help churches grow? No. No. You mean meeting in homes, sharing meals, isn't something that some seminar group came up with? No. It's actually right from the beginning. See, it's real life relationships. You worship here, you learn here. But life doesn't take on meaning until you sit down over a coffee table, or you sit down around a fire at the beach, or you go have some fun together, and you look into someone else's eyes, and those eyes say, "You matter. Tell me your story. Tell me your struggle. Tell me where you're frustrated. Let us pray for you about the relationship that's not working in your life. Let's pray for your boss. Let's hang in there with your sick kid." Notice what happens when the church operates this way. Verse 47, they're praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, believers and unbelievers, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Everybody needs somebody that cares about you as you. And I know. But Chip, I don't do relationships well. I tried one of those groups you're talking about in a church, and you should have seen the wacko who led that group. Or I shared something in one of those groups, and then I heard about it from someone else 2 weeks later. I've been burned. I've been hurt. I've been rejected. I've been abandoned. No one really cares about me. No one would really want to enter into a relationship with me. So I've learned to keep acting in a way that makes that true. What you're saying sounds great, Chip. And with all these people here, when we laugh together, it seems, yeah. But when they play that last song and you walk out the doors, I feel like I'm alone again. How do you do relationships where you can start to break down these barriers and get connected in the body of Christ? Suggestion number one, realize your need. As long as it's an option, you won't do it. It's our pride that makes us think, you know, I don't really need other people. No, you just need to keep lying to yourself. There's no Lone Rangers. The Bible is clear that attachment is essential. Life was made. Listen, life was made for relationships. It can't even be just you and God. He didn't design it that way. Realize your need. Two, move toward others. Now, it's great when people move towards you. But for some of us, you see, we walk in and here's how we all think. See, you look happy. You look smiling. When everyone gets up and introduces and says hi, you know, I look around the room and everyone's got it together and you're probably in a group and you're probably in a ministry and life's probably going great for you, but it's not for me. What you don't understand is 65 to 70% of all the people that you think that about, it's not true. They're struggling just like you are. They don't have it together. They're hurting and they're struggling. They need you to walk across an aisle, make a phone call, extend a hand, smile and say, "How are you doing?" And you're saying, "Well, no one's ever done that to me in this church." They haven't. And I've counted 52 weeks. No one's done that. Of course, you haven't done that to anyone else, have you? You got to move toward others. Scary? You bet. Can't be any worse than loneliness. Number three, be vulnerable. The word vulnerability literally means be open to attack. See, when I meet someone that either looks like they have it all together or projects they have it all together, you know what I've learned over the years? One, I'm too intimidated. I don't want to get around them. And two, I've been around the block to know they're either faking it or they're lying. So I don't want to be around them either. Right? Now, are you attracted to people that really, man, you know, yeah, they really got it? I'm not. But the moment someone shares a hurt, the moment someone shares a struggle, the moment someone peels a little bit of the mask off and lets me know what's going on inside, I'm immediately attracted to them. You know why? Because, oh, good, they're like me. Insecure, struggling, temptation, all kind of problems. And I need help with them, and I don't know, I just feel comfortable. Is it scary? Yes, but be vulnerable. Do it wisely. Open up a little at a time. Make sure how people respond. Don't do it with everyone, but take some steps. Fourth channel, distorted thinking. No one likes you. They'll abandon you. It'll be just like last time. You keep those running, and you're right. Nothing will change. Challenge those. Fifth, take risks. Step out. Extend a hand. Join a group. Reach out to someone. Take a risk. Six, be empathetic. Identify with others' hurts. If you can get other-centered and listen, 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 start. I have never found a person who's a great listener that doesn't have tons of friends. You know why? Who do people love to talk about more than anyone else in the whole world? Ourselves. Do you realize what great friends you can have? And you say, where are you from? Well, do you have any children? What part of the country? How's that going? What's the biggest struggle you have in work? Boy, that must be very difficult. How do you manage that? You just keep asking questions and listen, listen, listen. You know what? They walk away thinking, man, what a nice guy. Right? And then out of sheer politeness, they might try something like, you know, I've been talking for 20 minutes. How are you? And where are you from? And you're thinking, this works. I love it. Finally, pray. Trust God. Pray, pray, pray. Every time you come to a crossroads and you think, I want to take a step toward this person, I'm afraid, I can't do it. And God will say, that's right, you can't, but I can with you. Okay, I'll do it. Pray, pray, pray. Trust God. How does connecting occur? The first, smile. It's amazing. Just when you smile at someone. Two, extend a hand. Hi, my name is. I've been coming so-and-so. Three, for 3 minutes, I want you to talk with someone you don't know. You know what we do, those of us who feel connected? We come here, smile, think everyone's okay. And, you know, I think, great, Marty, how you doing? I know Marty. Hey, Sue, how's it going? I know Sue. Hey, Gordon. Hey, man, how's it going? Tell me about... And so we all we know each other, we talk to each other, and all the people who are not connected walk in, walk out, walk in. For 3 minutes, don't talk to anybody you know. Fourth, help out. The quickest way to get connected is people are desperate for help. You want help in the kitchen? I'll help out. Need help with those kids? I'll help out. Hey, shaking hands, giving out bulletins, and I'll help out. You need help putting these chairs up? I'll help out. What happens? You forge relationships. The summary to lick loneliness, you gotta write in the word, belong. You gotta belong. You see, it's these informal steps plus formal strategies that will produce a connected community of love.
Belonging. Getting connected to others in your local church. That's the first step to licking loneliness. It's not about having your name on a roll somewhere. It's about becoming a part of a community where you can experience the joy of giving and receiving love through serving in the name of Christ. Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And this message is part of Chip's series called Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. In this series, Chip tackles some of the most common obstacles to personal growth. You'll learn how to overcome the feelings of loneliness and isolation. You'll discover how to conquer personal stagnation. And you'll find out how to defeat the thoughts of inferiority and a low self-image. It's a series that'll bring hope and give you the tools you need to build a better future based on the truth of God's unfailing love. This series is available for a limited time at a special on-air discount price. To order Chip's series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers, just dial 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, as I heard your message today, you know, it struck me that we live in a world that is connected like never before, and yet we often find ourselves isolated and lonely.
It's a tragedy and almost an oxymoron that we can have more friends on Facebook but have fewer relationships than ever before. I mean, you might get a little twinge in your heart that says, oh, I got 45 likes, or someone, you know, retweeted one of my tweets, as you sit alone in front of a screen realizing, does anybody really know me? Does anybody care about me? Who do I process this with? And so we at Living on the Edge believe that this epidemic of loneliness only gets changed when we get in community with one another. And there's a reason that we have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in energy and time to produce small group resources. And it's to get people connected to one another around God's truth, because healthy relationships demand truth and vulnerability and application, and then loving accountability.
Thanks, Chip. Well, Living on the Edge has over 20 small group video titles to choose from, and right now they're all discounted because we know this is a great time of year to get in the kind of community Chip was just talking about. Our small group video resources couldn't be easier to use. When you purchase a study guide, free video streaming is included. If you prefer a DVD, those are also available for purchase. Chip does the teaching, the questions are outlined in the study guide, and there are even online helps for leaders. So why not take that next step? Make a plan with a few friends and do a small group study together. To take advantage of our small group discounts, just go to livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, now with some final thoughts, here's Chip.
As we wrap up today's program, I'd like to ask you a personal question. Do you feel loved? Are you in an authentic community? Do you struggle with loneliness? And if so, are you really willing to let God love you? Are you willing to let Him cause a breakthrough? You know, there's a lot of us in our times of loneliness, we cry out to God, we feel depressed, we feel discouraged. And God says He wants to have us experience authentic love and connection with His family. But it's not all His job. We have a part. So let me ask you some penetrating questions, and then I want to review some of those steps about how to build authentic relationships. But the first question is, how do you view the church? Is it just something where you show up and say, yeah, I'm putting in my time, and you go now and then? Or are you like some of us? Are you in that season where you've given up on the institutional church? You know, you've seen the hypocrisy, you've done the nine yards, and you said, forget church. I want to tell you something. There are some churches that are not doing it well. I'm a pastor. I can say that. I admit that. But you've got to know God has great churches out there. He's got a great church near you where people are authentic, but you got to go look. You got to get plugged in. It's the body of Christ. It's not some institution. The second thing is, it's not an event. It's a family that you belong to. And that means that, you know, people are going to have their struggles, but guess what? You have your struggles. So be a little kinder. Have a little more tolerance with people in the church when they blow it, because you're going to blow it too. Now let's talk about your part. How do you build authentic relationships? I went over these and I went pretty quickly. So if you have a pen or pencil, you might want to jot these down. And then I'm going to ask you, once you jot these down, I want you to pick one point and put it into action today. See, that's the key to experiencing God's grace. It's not knowing more, it's obeying. So, how do you build authentic relationships? Number one, realize your need. Remember that one? Really accept you have a need for this. Number two, move toward others. Don't wait for a friend to come into your life. Go find someone and be a friend to them. Number three, this is tough, be vulnerable. You will get about as deep with others as you are willing to let them get with you. Take the first step, share a little more significantly what's really going on. Number four, challenge your distorted thinking. You know, no one likes me. I'm not worth anything. That's not true. When that comes up in your mind, you say, that's not true. That's not true. You challenge it. Number five, take risks. Yep, that's you. Take some risks. Number six, be empathetic. You start listening to others, and you'll find everybody wants to be around you. And finally, number seven, trust God. Ask Him for a friend. Pray. He'll answer.
At Living on the Edge, we're excited to announce a new way to listen to our extended teaching podcast. Hear Chip anytime on Amazon's Alexa Echo and Echo Dot. Simply say, Alexa, enable the Chip Ingram podcast. Once Alexa's enabled with that skill, all you need to say is, Alexa, play the Chip Ingram podcast. You'll hear that day's extended teaching anytime you want. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow as Chip continues his current series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. For Chip and the entire team, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.